meaningless music. He wanted to scream with thirst, and his tongue searched for some saliva to ease the dryness. He didn't dare drink anything, too frightened of being sick, of not being able to keep down everything that he'd swallowed. He had to do it, keep it all down, or else he knew the way things worked. He was a dead man. He listened to the birds, as he often did in the late afternoon when the warm air that came from somewhere in the Atlantic retreated reluctantly in advance of another cool spring evening. It was the time of day he liked best, when he had finished what he had to do and was anything but tired, and so had a good few hours before he would have to lie down on the narrow hotel bed and try to sleep in the room that was still only filled with loneliness. Eric Wilson felt the chill brush his face, and for a brief moment closed his eyes against the strong floodlights that drenched everything in a glare that was too white. He tilted his head back and peered warily up at the great knots of sharp barbed wire that made the high fence even higher, and had to fight the bizarre feeling that they were toppling toward him. From a few hundred meters away, the sound of a group of people moving across the vast floodlit area of hard asphalt. A line of men dressed in black, six across, with a seventh behind. An equally black vehicle shadowed them. Wilson followed each step with interest. Transport of a protected object. Transport across an open space. Suddenly another sound cut through. Gunfire. Someone firing rapid single shots at the people on foot. Eric Wilson stood completely still and watched as the two people in black closest to the protected person threw themselves over said person and pushed them to the ground, and the four others turned toward the line of fire. They did the same as Wilson, identified the weapon by sound, a Kalashnikov. From an alleyway between two low buildings, about 40, maybe 50 meters away. The birds that had been singing a moment ago were silent. Even the warm wind that would soon become cool was still. Eric Wilson could see every movement through the fence, hear every arrested silence. The men in black returned the fire, and the vehicle accelerated sharply, then stopped right by the protected person in the line of fire that continued at regular intervals from the low buildings. A couple of seconds later, no more, the protected body had been bundled into the back seat of the vehicle through an open door and disappeared into the dark.
"Good,"
the voice came from above.
"That's us done for this evening."
The loudspeakers were positioned just below the huge floodlights. The president had survived this evening once again. Wilson stretched, listened. The birds had returned. A strange place. It was the third time he had visited the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center, or the FLETC, as it was called. It was as far south in the state of Georgia as it was possible to go, a military base owned by the American state, a training ground for American police organizations, the DEA, ATF, U.S. Marshals, Border Patrol, and the people who had just saved the nation once more, the Secret Service. He was sure of it as he studied the floodlit asphalt. It was their vehicle, their people, and they often practiced here at this time of day. He carried on walking along the fence, which was the boundary to another reality. It was easy to breathe. He'd always liked the weather here, so much lighter, so much warmer than the run-up to a Stockholm summer, which never came. It looked like any other hotel. He walked through the lobby toward the expensive, tired restaurant, but then changed his mind and carried on over to the elevators. He made his way up to the 11th floor, which, for some days or weeks or months, was the shared home of all course participants. His room was too warm and stuffy. He opened the window that looked out over the vast practice ground, peered into the blinding light for a while, then turned on the TV and flicked through the channels that were all showing the same program. It would stay on until he went to bed, the only thing that made a hotel room feel alive. He was restless. The tension in his body spread from his stomach to his legs to his feet, forcing him up off the bed. He stretched and walked over to the desk and the five mobile phones that lay there neatly in a row on the shiny surface, only centimeters apart. Five identical handsets between the lamp with the slightly over-large lampshade and the dark leather blotting pad. He lifted them up